Well, good morning again. So today, yes, we are carrying on our series on the Sermon on the Mount, a series where we're considering what kind of community it is that Jesus wants us to form, what this new family he has created looks like, and what values he expects us to hold and to display to the world. And as Emma has already said, you may notice from the reading as well, we've skipped around a little bit. Last week, Toby looked at chapter five, the very beginning of it, the Beatitudes, and we've skipped ahead. And we've done that, as Emma has already said, because today we stand on the eve of the Queen's funeral, and we felt appropriate that we explore one of the values that she herself exemplified, that of servanthood. And no doubt you've heard lots of stories about the Queen this week, and I'm afraid you're going to hear more again today. I'm hoping they're not the same ones you've heard lots this week, but if they are, forgive me. But I thought it'd be great for us to look a little bit, as we explore this together, to see what her life might have to say about her service to our Lord and Saviour, what we might learn from this passage in light of her life. So before we dive in, let's just pray. Father, we do want to thank you for the life of Queen Elizabeth II. We want to thank you that she was so dedicated to you, as we've looked at this morning. We pray today that we would keep our eyes on you, the one that she served, the one that she loved. Lord, as we open your word this morning, would you give us ears to hear what it is that you're saying? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as I said, we've skipped a little bit ahead of where we were planning to be. So I'll fill you in on kind of where we are in the Sermon on the Mount at this moment. Jesus has begun to teach his disciples, his followers in this moment. And he seems to be living up to his statement in verse 17, where he says he's come not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. Now, obviously, that's a huge statement. We could spend a long time exploring the fullness of what he's doing there and saying. But in this teaching, what he's doing is taking Old Testament laws and reinterpreting them in the light of his arrival. He isn't dismissing the laws and he isn't changing them fundamentally in any way. What he seems to be doing is getting to the heart and the very motive of these laws. Each time he cuts to what's really behind the law and perhaps even what God's motive for the law might have been. So in the coming weeks, we'll go back and we'll tackle do not murder and do not commit adultery and all those sorts of really difficult things. But today we've reached the Old Testament passage, the Old Testament law of retaliation, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And it's a phrase that we've heard probably most of our lives, isn't it? It's made it into our cultural language. It's well known, but I want to ask you this morning, what do you think about it? What do you think of this law of retaliation, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth? Does it sound fair? Does it sound just? Does it sound pretty grisly? Does it sound merciful? We might struggle to see how this is merciful, how taking someone's eye or a tooth is an act of mercy, but actually this law is the beginning of mercy. Ancient Israelite culture, maybe, but definitely the cultures around them when this law was given, revenge, retaliation could get out of hand extremely quickly. Any offense might be escalated rapidly. Like if someone killed one of somebody's livestock, they might turn around and kill all their livestock. Very quickly, any slight could escalate to cause harm to people and communities. So the law of retaliation, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, impose limits on retaliation. In that sense, it's actually a merciful law that prevents a lot of pain and suffering. And it seems to me, at least, like a law that is just and fair and one we might easily attribute to God, who is also just and fair. However, Jesus takes this law and delves into the heart of it for us. And what we find at the heart of this law is a call to love, to forgive, and to serve in love. Now, I want to add a disclaimer here before we go any further. You're not going to like this. You're probably not going to like any of it. I don't really like it. And this week I've heard some people describe the history of Christianity as the history of Christians trying to evade the Sermon on the Mount and avoid living to according to its plain meaning. It's a bit harsh, but then you read it and you kind of see why. I pray this morning that we will hear its plain meaning And we won't shy away from seeking to live it, but I do warn you, this is tough. So when you do find it tough this morning, be glad. Be glad, because I've heard it said that the moment Jesus stops bothering you is the moment you've stopped listening to him. So if anything bothers you this morning, be glad and take it to him. There's no point talking to me. That's probably a general rule of thumb, actually. There's no point talking to me. But seriously, take this unease to him and recognize that maybe this unease is an invitation. Because at least for me, what stands out and what makes me so uneasy in this whole passage is what I perceive as a lack of justice. It's important that we realize that the Old Testament law of retaliation was intended to be an equalizer of justice. It was to be imposed by the community, not by individuals. This law was about preventing personal revenge and having justice meted out by authorities and by God himself, not by individuals. But what Jesus asks us in this passage, at least to me, kind of offends my sense of justice. I kind of want retaliation. But in the midst of our discomfort, I do think we're being invited into something. Now, let me ask you a question this morning. Do you believe that God is just? Because if you do, here's an invitation to live like he is. Do you believe that God loves all of humankind? Because if you do, here's an invitation to live like it. Do you believe that God has your best interests at heart, that knows what's best for you and what's best for this world? Because if you do, then you guessed it, this is how you live like that. Jesus is inviting us to live generously and in service of others, inviting us to live like we know who God is, inviting us to turn the world upside down, to deal with evil and to flip the script. I love stories that do that flip something. If you've ever seen The Sixth Sense, something at the end makes you reinterpret the whole movie. And if you haven't seen it, it's really old, so come on. But I love stories like that. And one of the stories from the Queen's life this week has stuck with me for that very reason. Her close protection officer was telling a story of one day when she was staying at Balmoral. They went out for a walk, and they're walking across these sort of picnic sites that were pretty abandoned, and coming towards them were a couple of tourists on a walking holiday. And these American tourists came over to them, and the Queen, as was her wont, sort of said hello and was really lovely and kind of welcoming. And it was very clear very quickly they had no idea who she was. And so as they were talking, they asked her, you know, do you live near here? And she's like, oh no, I have a holiday home over the hills, Balmoral Castle. And then they said, have you been coming here long? She said, I've been coming here since I was a little girl. And they were like, oh, then you must know the Queen. And she said, oh, not very well, but this guy knows her really well. And so her close protection officer, sort of like, they're really excited. And they're like, what's she like? And he knew her very well, so he was a bit cheeky. And he said, well, she can be quite cantankerous, but she's got a really good sense of humour. And as after the conversation carried on a little bit longer, and they're really excited that he knew the Queen. And so before they knew it, they'd given the Queen their phone to take a photo with him. And so he took the photo, and then he insisted on having a photo with her as well. They said their goodbyes and walked off, and the Queen then said to him, I wish I could be a fly on the wall when they're showing those photos to other people and someone points out who I am. But can you imagine that moment? Suddenly for them, everything in that interaction is going to change. The whole situation will look completely different to them because of the way they look at it, because of something they've understood has changed. And that, I love stories that do that, and that is what Jesus is inviting us into in this passage. To take every situation, and as the Message translation puts it, and use it to see it as an occasion to practice the servant life. To reinterpret any situation and look for how we might use it to serve. To lay aside our perceived right to retaliation, to offense, to what we would see as justice, and instead to seek to serve someone else. And so Jesus gives his disciples these four examples, four instances that could well occur in their lives, and shows them that the disciples' role is not to resist, not to set themselves against the offending person, but to turn the situation around, to flip it and use it to serve another. And so first up, Jesus tells them to turn the other cheek. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. It might be helpful to remember in this moment that Jesus and his disciples were living in a time when the Romans occupied the land. It's possible that in this moment, Jesus is referring to the occupiers of the land mistreating the Jewish people and randomly insulting them, something that they would have been really uptight and angry about. But Jesus doesn't make any distinction of who is offending here. In many ways, the offender is irrelevant because this is teaching for his disciples. And it's teaching we know well, don't we? This is another phrase that's made it into our cultural understanding. But even still, doesn't it just feel alien? Doesn't it just feel in some ways wrong that if someone is assaulting you, instead of fighting back, you offer them another opportunity? If someone is insulting you, rather than retaliating, giving them another shot at it. And I've heard many justifications that try and weasel out of this, but it seems rather plain to me, Jesus is commanding his disciples not to retaliate. I do feel I want to be clear, Jesus is not, in commanding this, Jesus is not abandoning justice. He's still passionate about it. It's one of the things he's here for. He does not say that justice shouldn't occur. Whether that happens by authorities or by God's divine hand, he doesn't even command us to stay in a situation that is unjust. What he commands in this moment is that his disciples do not retaliate. I hope you can see the distinction there. We have been set free from seeking our own justice, that we might focus on our true goal, to introduce people to Jesus and his kingdom. We should still expect and pray for justice. He may even call us at times to be instruments of his justice for others, or for that to occur in other means. But we are set free from pursuing our own sense of justice, which, let's be honest, is so often revenge. So even though we might recognize our freedom here and leave justice where it belongs, in the hands of God, why does it still feel so wrong? I wonder if it's because we have been taught by our culture, by various things, that to not fight back is weak. But the truth is, to turn the other cheek requires far more strength than fighting back. Psychologists tell us that violence is born not of weakness, but of strength. No, sorry, the other way around. Violence is born of weakness, not of strength. It's often those that are most afraid that respond with violence. It's the strong person who can love and stay and suffer hurt. The strong person who can show humility and courage. It's not weak to serve those who might offend you, insult you, hurt you. In fact, it shows incredible strength. Once again, we might look to our late queen for an example of that strength and that humility in service. And another story that struck me this week was describing an important meeting where the queen was there, you know, probably the most important person in the room, but there's still an important meeting. And it was the early days of mobile phones, and in the middle of the meeting, someone's phone starts going off. And everyone's looking around like, oh my goodness, this is awful. And after a few moments, the queen reaches for her bag, pulls out her phone and presses reject, and then turns to everybody there and says, well, I do hope that wasn't someone important. Take from that what you will, but for me, it speaks of a humility that we see in her Saviour, who on the night he was betrayed, took a towel and a bowl of water and stopped to wash his disciples' feet. The Creator of all things, the most important person at the table, serving those who by right should serve him. How can we think serving is weak? It can't be. Look at Jesus. to serve one's enemy is the height of strength and courage, humility and love. So who is your enemy today? Is that too strong of a term for you? You're like, I don't have any enemies. Fine, okay, who's wronged you today? Who are you mad at? Who irritates you? And do you want to be strong today? Because if you do, find a way to serve them. I'm not saying do whatever they want. This is about seeking the good of somebody else. To seek their good above your own. You know, I'm going to be really conflicted at coffee time if all of you come up and try and give me tea. Because one, I'll think, oh, good, they listened. And two, they don't like me. But if you want to be strong today, serve your enemy. And Jesus continues with more examples. He gives them a second example. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. Again, Jesus commands his disciples to reverse the situation, to change the narrative. Here is someone attempting to steal something from you, to take it unfairly. So how do you flip this situation? Simple. Give it to them. They can't forcibly take something from you that you're willing to give them. I love that idea. That whole situation, again, is flipped. They're trying to take it, and you're like, no, 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 have it. I love the way Jesus flips this situation. Nothing fundamentally has changed, but the whole thing has changed. It's important, though, that we remember what Jesus said at the beginning of this whole passage. Don't resist an evil person. By commanding his disciples to choose service, to choose love over retaliation, Jesus is not condoning the actions of these offenders. This is evil. It's an evil act. This is evil, and Jesus has come to deal with evil. And here he shows us how he's going to do it, how he encourages his disciples to do it. For Jesus, the only way to defeat evil is not to resist it. Again, if we return to the original purpose of the law, it was partly a way of preventing escalating acts of evil. And again, Jesus once again gets to the heart of this law and commands his followers to not repay evil with more evil. Not just escalating evil, but if they're evil towards you, don't be evil back. Don't resist it. Don't set yourself against the evil person. Because resisting it merely gives evil more chance to grow. It adds fuel to the flames. It adds more evil into this world. Instead, to defeat evil, we endure. We seek to serve. We give to those who would try and take. Because when evil meets no opposition, when it encounters those who won't repay evil for evil, but instead meet it with patient endurance, with love and with service, evil can't reproduce. It can't carry on and it spends itself until it is nothing. Jesus flips the script. And you may have noticed I've said that phrase a few times. I love it. Flip the script. I really like it. And I think it gets to the heart of what Jesus is trying to say in reversing this dynamic over and over. And I thought it was a really well-known phrase, but then I spoke to a few people and apparently not. But apparently it comes from the graffiti art scene, where one artist would go and spray their tag on a wall and then another artist would come along, look at their tag, recreate it upside down in order to wind them up, in order to say, your tag is so weak, it's so simple, it's so pathetic that look, I can take it and I can do it upside down. Literally flip the script. And this is what Jesus commands his followers to do with evil, to turn it around into something good, to look at it and say, that's so weak, that's nothing, because look what I can do. By the power of God, I can turn it to blessing. Basically, I'm sorry, did you mean that for evil? Because my God can turn that to good. I know about you, but maybe I've watched too many superhero movies and read too many fantasy novels, but I want to fight evil. I want to fight evil. And I always imagined it would look like epic battles or throwing rings into lava. But this is what it looks like in reality. Flipping the script. Turning what people mean for evil into good. Patiently enduring and serving in the face of evil. This morning, Is there an evil you are being called to flip? A situation in your life or even in your own head that needs to be turned upside down so you can transform it in from taking to giving, to shift it from being evil to blessing? Anyway, Jesus continues, go the extra mile. And I'm sure most of us here know the context, but just in case, you know, under Roman occupation, it wasn't uncommon for Roman soldiers to commandeer citizens to carry their bags for a mile or perform other tasks for them. You know, we should see it in the story of Easter. You know, Simon of Cyrene is pulled out of the crowd to carry the cross of Jesus. It's a situation the disciples may well find themselves in. And once again, Jesus commands his disciples to flip the script. Don't carry it for one, carry it for two. Don't see this as an obligation. See it as an opportunity to serve, to show you are different, to show my kingdom is different, to practice the servant life. And it makes me wonder, how many opportunities do I have on a daily basis to fight evil, to serve, that I just miss? How many people could be blessed, could be introduced to the kingdom through opportunities that I just don't see? I wouldn't have seen the opportunity in anything Jesus uses as an example here. But we need to look for them. We need to look for these opportunities, and they'll be different for all of us. As we've already looked at this morning, and I heard on the radio this week, the Queen on her 21st birthday said, I declare before you all that my whole life, whether it be long or short, shall be devoted to your service and the service of our great imperial family to which we all belong. And we know she did. She lived a life of service to all of us, but all for her God. And I hope each of us might be willing to make a similar dedication in our lives to serve Jesus in everything and to serve the world around us and to look for those opportunities to serve. But what her service looked like and what my service looked like are worlds apart. It will be different for each of us. These examples Jesus gives, they're not an exhaustive list. We might never get publicly insulted. We might never have someone sue us for our shirt. But what we're being asked to do is look, open our eyes for the opportunities that we do have. Opportunities that in the face of evil, the face of insult or offense, to look, how can I serve? So where are you being asked to serve this morning? Finally, Jesus seems to move beyond those who might offend us or attack us in some way. And then he widens the scope even further. Give to the one who asks you and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. And notice there are no qualifiers. No, Jesus doesn't say give to all those who deserve it. Give to someone who's needy that asks you. No, once again, Jesus liberates us from the obligation of judging merit and worth and frees us to live generous lives of service to everyone who asks, to live and give and serve freely. So this morning, I have been set free to give to someone who asks me, even though they're a billionaire. I've been set free to give to somebody I know is never going to give it back. I've been set free to give to people who have way more than I do. To those who would cheat me. To those who would rob me. Isn't that wonderful? If you detect a hint of sarcasm, it's because I know if I was listening to this right now, I'd be going, that's not right. And it's not realistic. You know, if we act like this, we're going to become doormats, Chris. People will rob us and they'll cheat us. People will take advantage of us. It's impossible to live like that. Come on. Seriously. It's impossible to live a life where you just accept insult and ridicule. It's impossible to live a life serving those who hate you and want to take advantage of you. And it's utterly ridiculous, stupid, to say you can defeat evil by not resisting it, by enduring it, by just letting it spend itself on you. It's not impossible. And here's our proof. Everything Jesus asks his disciples, everything he asks of us, he demonstrates. It leads him to be ridiculed and insulted, to people spitting on him as he freely gives his life. It leads him to a cross, an instrument of torture and pain and of curse and death, where he flips the script. And this symbol of pain and torture is transformed into a symbol of hope, of life, of service, and of love. I warned you it wasn't going to be easy. But look at what God does with lives dedicated to his service. We can't fulfill the law as Jesus did. We can't flip the script on death. But thanks to him, we don't need to. Instead, by the power of his Spirit, we can follow in his footsteps. Trust and have faith in our perfect and just God. We can live lives of love, lives that reverse the dynamic, lives dedicated to defeating evil, through using every opportunity we see to practice the servant life. Let's just pray. Jesus, we don't even know how to thank you for your service. Lord, we look at this and we see how difficult it must be to live this life, but we recognize you lived it for us. And we pray by the power of your Spirit, you would empower us to live lives of service, dedicated to you, that the world might know who you are, that the world might know your love for them. Lord, we pray we would be people that are able to defeat evil through not resisting it the way you did. Jesus, help us to be greater servants, we pray. In your name, amen.